Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
If you want to learn fly fishing, then pick a date and sign up for a wading trip from Jesse Brown's. Our experienced guides meet you streamside with everything provided for the day. Rod and reel? Check. Waders and boots? Check. Flies and lunch? No, not together, but flies to fish with are included in a streamside lunch too. Let's learn to fly fish with Jesse Brown's. Come on in. The listening is fine. Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. I'm your host, Bill Barty. And each week, I come in with my friend TJ, the DJ Boggs, to lay out four different segments for your listening pleasure. Hopefully, along the way, you'll learn a little bit something about our Carolina Outdoors. And hopefully, along the way, you'll be inspired to get out into our Carolina Outdoors. That is our mission. I hang my hat through the week over at Jesse Brown's Outdoors, local outfitter here based in Charlotte, North Carolina. The website also jessebrowns.com. You can check us out that way. But we also invite you to join in via Facebook and Instagram. We're quite active that way as well. And over at jessebrowns.com, also you can listen to this segment and the other segments if you don't have time to listen via the airwaves of WBT Radio. JesseBrowns.com highlights of the Carolina Outdoors resides there and wherever you listen to your podcast. This week we've got a great lineup. We're going to talk to Tom Pierman. He's going to be a course marshal with the 24 Hours of Booty. Don't worry, travelers in the Myers Park area of Charlotte. It's not right now. It's this July 28th and 29th. That's when it's taking place, but we're going to kind of get a lay of the land over there in Bootyville and the Booty Loop here in the Myers Park area of Charlotte, and this fundraiser that has raised millions of dollars for the beneficiaries of cancer research and the like. But Tom Pierman's going to be a course marshal, so we're going to find out about what a course marshal on a nonprofit bicycle ride entails, because they're going to have all kinds of riders, hundreds of riders that are out there. But it's an exciting time in the cycling and fundraising and Charlotte community, and you don't have to be a biker to participate. We're also going to head up to Lake Norman. We're going to talk to Mike McDonald on the Carolina Outdoors a little bit about Lake Norman and boat safety. Many of us are heading out to our area lakes, whether it be around Charlotte or beyond, but we're going to find out how we can enjoy the lake and be safe in the lake and some of the requirements by North Carolina law and by boating etiquette. Of course, Mike McDonald is with Surf and Sport Lake Norman, where they rent boats out for area users. We'll find out the several types of boats that they have on hand for us to rent. But before we do that, we have a new term, or a newer term, to the Carolina Outdoors that we're learning a little bit and wanted to share about. It made the news because recently a 17-year-old was banned by American Airlines for skip lagging on a flight to New York City. The teenager's flight began in the Tampa, Florida airport, and was his destination was New York, but he skip lagged and American Airlines called him on it and has banned him for 3 years. So it brings to note, what is skip lagging? It is a way where travelers try to save money on their airfare by booking a ticket with a connection point as their final destination, but they do not go to the final destination. They get off in a city where it is connecting to. So this young person has a North Carolina driver's license, and American Airlines was on alert for that. Again, he was in Tampa, Florida, heading for New York via the plane ticket. but he got off in Charlotte and therefore saved some money. It also has another name. Hidden City Ticketing is another name for skip lagging. But there are some consequences, namely being banned. It's not illegal, but it may go against many of the airlines' agreements and conditions of carriage. So you need to be on alert along with the dangers of skip lagging or hidden city ticketing is you cannot check your luggage. You might get kicked out of the frequent flyer miles program of said airline. And the important part is the rest of your itinerary can be canceled. And also last minute connecting city changes could occur. It's been going on and been a topic for the past several years, but airlines are now starting to become more restrictive on it. So everyone needs to be alert. There is a website, a platform that helps book flights called Skip Lagging. So be forewarned that that is in the news. That particular young person was, again, banned and not allowed to get on the flight. They forced him to buy a regular ticket. Skip lagging. We have a new term here on the Carolina Outdoors. All right, is everyone buckled up? Because we're going to jump feet first into the program. We're going to talk a little bit about the 24 hours of booty, and then later on in the program, we're going to head up to Lake Norman and find out about boater safety and boat rentals. All of that and more with Bill Barty, your host. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. Are you going for a walk, a hike, a travel trip? Make sure that you have the right shoes, sandals, and boots for the trip, and make sure that they fit. Jesse Brown's has an expert team of footwear fitters that will help make your endeavor feel better from the bottom of your feet and up. Placement in the right category and the right size keep you looking and feeling good, Mortimer, in the right shoes. Stop by jessebrowns.com or the brick and mortar in the shopping district of Charlotte's South Park area to get your newest, most favorite adventure footwear from Jesse Brown's. Saddle up the pony, TJ. You're a cowboy. Yeehaw. On the Carolina Outdoors, welcome everyone. Bill Barty, your host, and TJ, the DJ, pushing the buttons. Red ones, orange ones, and yellow ones, and he's got some slider buttons over there on the board. We're glad that you're joining in, however you may be joining in, whether it be early on a Saturday morning as we blast up and down the eastern seaboard via the airways of WBT Radio, or maybe you're of the digital age and joining us via podcast. If you miss any of our segments of the Carolina Outdoors, head over to podcast land, wherever you listen to podcast highlights of the Carolina Outdoors. I'm from the mothership of the Carolina Outdoors, the thing that powers us each week, Jesse Brown's Outdoors. We hope that you'll check us out in store over in the shopping district of Charlotte, the South Park area, or check us out at jessebrowns.com. Here in the Charlotte area, one of the most popular events for cyclists each year is the 24 Hours of Booty. The event began 21 years ago and occurs on the aforementioned Booty Loop in the Myers Park neighborhood, and it is for raising money for cancer research run by the 24 Foundation. They have helped raise more than $26 million for their beneficiaries, changing the course of cancer. And again, that event, July 28 and 29, as we prepare for that in the Charlotte area, we're going to take a look at the course in the Myers Park neighborhood and the challenges of riding for 24 hours. By doing so, we're going to bring on one of the course marshals for the 2023 event, Tom Pierman. Tom, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me.
Man, it is awesome having you, and you're also from Team Jesse Brown's as well. And, Tom, you've ridden in the 24 Hours of Booty for maybe since its inception. It began 2002. Were you riding in the beginning?
I did not ride in the beginning. I guess I probably started riding in the event a few years after it started. We'll just call it year four, three or four, somewhere in there. I started riding in the event and rode in it for a number of years. I have a second generation rider in the family. My daughter, who is 16, has been a registered member and riding it since I guess about she was about nine. And so the last couple of years, I'll be honest with you, I've been out there supporting her, maybe rode a few laps. So I'm excited to be part of the event again this year.
Well, we're excited to talk to you about that because this is the first year, I think this is the first year that you have acted as one of the several course marshals that they'll have out there for these 24 hours, again, July 28th through 29th. Tom, what are some of the responsibilities and the lay of the land, if you will, for a course marshal that is maneuvering with hundreds of different riders? And Tom, I would say hundreds of different riders with different skill levels. You'll have young people, families, groups, fundraisers, competitive teams, all of that are on hand going in this 3.2 mile booty loop.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Somewhere in there. Doing these circles for 24 hours, what do you anticipate being some of your main chores as a course marshal?
Well, first of all, before I answer that question, I guess I'll tell you a little bit about the course marshal. It's really an opportunity, a volunteer opportunity. So if there's anybody out there that doesn't want to ride a bike, or doesn't want to ride for 24 hours or what part of that they want to ride, there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer to help the organization go. So they need people that work in the food tent or maybe work at registration. There's all kinds of opportunities. So if anybody's out there interested in volunteering for a great organization for a couple hours, they can reach out to the 24 Foundation, and they have plenty of opportunities for people to volunteer. So the course marshal piece was simply a way for I wasn't planning to ride this year, but it was a way to support the event in a volunteer capacity and still ride a few laps, but also be able to give back to the, you know, give back to 24 Foundation in the form of just giving a few hours of my time to ride as a course marshal. So that's sort of what a course marshal is. It's just another opportunity to volunteer at the event. But what a course marshal does is essentially there are several hour slots that you sign up for, and you're riding to make sure the course stays safe. So whether you see a traffic cone that's just been misplaced, making sure that people are riding safely. So we want to encourage, you know, slower riders to stay to the right, just like you would riding a car. So we want to make sure that we don't see anybody out there flying around or riding unsafe. We also want to make sure that people riding are wearing their helmet. We make sure they have their lights on in the evening. Once it gets dark, we want to make sure they're running their taillights and headlights so they can be seen. Because they are road, the course is closed, but there are lanes near the course that are open. So we want to, you know, make sure riders are safe, they're visible. And then if there's ever any problems, occasionally there might be a first aid need. If somebody needs some assistance for anything, you know, you have the ability to reach out to those personnel that are out there to provide assistance, whether that's whatever, first aid, hydration, medical, if VB, you know, we'd never hope we'd have that, but they are prepared for all of those things. So that's sort of what we do as a course marshal is just make sure that riders are being safe and that the course remains clear and that we're out there to assist if people have any questions.
Hey, Tom Pierman is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors, course marshal for 24 Hours of Booty. In Myers Park, it's coming up July 28th through 29th. Hey, Tom, what shift did you pick? Are you a nighttime shift, a daytime shift, and how long is your shift?
So that's a good question. I actually don't know. We're still a couple of weeks out. I'll probably ride a couple of different shifts. I'll probably ride some at the beginning for a couple of hours. Since my daughter's out there riding, she wanted me to do a couple of different ones to ride with her some so she wouldn't be too bored. Yeah. So I'll probably do a shift, you know, Friday night and maybe one later in the evening and then maybe a couple hours on Saturday. So I'll probably sign up and do a couple just because I'll probably be out there anyway. So I might as well get a little exercise. And
I'm going to ask you a little bit.
One shift.
I'm going to ask you about being out there beyond being a course marshal as well. But, Tom, you've done this for decades, riding as a fundraiser, as a participant with the 24 Hours of Booty. But this is your first year as a course marshal. In those years previously, did you ever have need yourself of a course marshal?
I can't recall an incident where I personally needed a course marshal, but I've seen actively what the course marshals do. I have friends that have participated as course marshals, providing assistance to riders, or again, making sure people are out there being safe. And so I'm familiar with it. I've got friends that have done it. So a lot of times they just ride around and chat with people they know as well. Keep it at a fun atmosphere and safe atmosphere for everybody out there.
Now I want to touch base on that part of it a little bit. And you mentioned hanging out, and here on the Carolina Outdoors, we're talking to Tom Pierman about the 24 Hours of Booty. It's coming up in a few weeks anyway, July 28, 29. But here on the Carolina Outdoors, we talk a lot about the outdoor community and outdoor culture. One of the first things that come to mind when we talk about long-distance hiking and the Appalachian Trail is the trail community. They will converge on Damascus for trail days, but even the Society of Hikers who are attempting a northbound hike, or maybe a group that's heading southbound along the trail for those 2,100 plus miles, a sense of community occurs. Tom, I would say the same thing here in Charlotte happens during the 24 Hours of Booty. There's a culture and a community that kind of join together for this fundraiser. And again, I mentioned this before, $26+ million has been raised by the 24 Foundation that began through the 24 Hours of Booty. But with that being said, there is a town that occurs right over there on the corner of Queens University, and it's called, aptly named, Bootyville. Will you talk to us about what Bootyville serves as TJ has a smile on his face, with the tents and the vendors and a place of respite? Will you talk to us about the culture and community that happens on this 24 hours in this part of Charlotte?
Yeah, so that's on the center of the loop, sort of behind Dilworth Elementary and a little bit behind Queens there, where they set that up by the athletic fields. They also, I guess, technically out in front of Queens, where they have a live music and a rest stop for water and snacks. I guess you could include that in the greater Bootyville as well. But that is sort of, I guess it was, an apropos name for the event, but it serves as sort of the epicenter of the event. So there's a lot of things that go on over in Bootyville. There's registration pickup. Lots of sponsors of the event have booths set up. There is Bicycle Sport provides neutral support. That's what we call it in the cycling world. But they have a mechanic on staff for the entire race. So they have extra bike tubes and, you know, if somebody forgets a light, they can provide a lot of support to the cyclists. Atrium, I think it's, and I don't want to speak wrong, but the healthcare sponsor, I believe it's Atrium, but I could be wrong. Don't want to miss a sponsor there. But, they'll have folks out there. You have medics there. So if somebody needs assistance, you lots of fun vendors. So a lot of the sponsors will set up vendors and have little giveaways. There's a lot of cancer resource information that's around with various sponsors. And then the big part of that is where everyone's fed, right? There's a huge food tent there, and lots of local restaurants here in Charlotte have supported the event for years, providing meals, whether it's midnight pizza or ice cream on Sunday and breakfast and lunch. And so that's where everybody riding the event goes to eat. And of course, if you're out there supporting maybe a family member or friend that's riding, you too can buy a meal ticket. You don't actually have to ride to eat. They'll sell you a meal ticket too if you don't want to, if you're out there all day and need something to eat. So that's sort of the epicenter where you go to from everything from eating to charging your cell phone to whatever you need is all right there to support the event, as well as the camping, right? You got a lot of people that ride the event each year that like to stay out there. And so they camp on the soccer field there behind the school on the athletic field. So you have a sense of community there, people that literally stay up during the evening when they're not riding and chat with friends. And it's sort of an annual event. Now, it's hot out there camping, but it's amazing how many people still bring their drop cords or their fans or their coolers full of drinks and have a sense of community to spend the night out there, and they, you know, hang out when they're not riding. So it's a neat place to come and check out, even if you're not riding the event.
It sounds like our course marshal, Tom Pierman, may have to be over there during his off hours to check it out and enjoy all that is there as well. Tom Pierman, you're a rock star. Thanks for jumping on the program and sharing a little bit of insight of what you have going on during the 24 Hours of Booty with us and what the 24 Foundation has going on and has had going on since 2002.
Well, I appreciate you having me. And in closing on my end, I'd just like, you know, people to know that it's not just an event for, you know, some people think, oh, it's just cyclists. There's every level and there's an opportunity. It doesn't matter how much, you know, some people are cyclists that ride 5 days a week, and some people are people that ride that event once a year. So it's really something, you know, you don't have to ride for 24 hours. You can ride 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there. It's an event that goes for 24 hours, but there's no requirement that you ride that. So if people are interested in it, I'd certainly say check it out. Don't feel intimidated that you have to be a quote-unquote cyclist. But, yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for promoting the event.
You're too good. The place to check all that out that you mentioned is 24foundation.org, 24foundation.org. Tom Pierman, we'll see you on the course. Thanks for being a marshal and volunteering your time.
All right, thanks for having me, Bill.
Off he goes. And just a reminder for many of our outdoor listeners who may not know where the Booty Loop gets its name. It was named supposedly by legend, by a group of cyclists that was out there on these Myers Park roads and noticed all of the exercisers and dare say Queens College students that were fit, and hencely nicknamed it the Booty Loop. Stay tuned for more. I'm Bill Barty, your host. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoor. We want to see you. How about at Jesse Brown's Outdoors Facebook page? Maybe Instagram. Both operate under the handle Jesse Brown CLT, and we want to see your hike, hunt, fish, climb, travel pics. We love to share and hope that you do too. Plus, giveaways, discounts, and celebrating our friends is a part of the charm. Again, Facebook and Instagram at Jesse Brown's CLT. All aboard! This train called the Carolina Outdoors is choo-chooing down the track. One of the busiest places in the Carolinas, of course, is Lake Norman this summer. Sitting just north of Charlotte, this lake fed by the Catawba River. It's the largest lake, man-made lake in the Carolinas. That's where we're going to go because that's where a lot of people are. We're going to find out about the traffic. I'm sure it's busy Saturdays and Sundays up there with all the different pursuits that are going on. We're also going to find out what's happening during the weekdays as well. And by doing that, we're going to head up Surf and Sport Lake Norman, Mike McDonald. He's been on the Carolina Outdoors before sharing wisdom about Lake Norman, and here he comes again, Mike McDonald. Welcome to the program.
Hey there. Happy to be back. Thank you.
Man, we love getting you on. And, of course, before we get into boat safety and the activities that people are doing and the types of boats that they are doing them in, Mike, will you just give us a kind of a general look for those of us who have not been out on Lake Norman? You know, here we are a year or two or so after the pandemic. How does lake traffic look? And I'm sure, as I mentioned in the open, Saturdays and Sundays, I'm sure, are busy. But how is it overall?
You know, lake traffic is pretty similar to what it's been over the last couple of years since the pandemic. Obviously, the weekends are much busier than the weekdays. But the weekends are still a great time to get out if you go out early in the morning. And then if you want a slower kind of day, then the weekdays by far are the way to go because there's so many less boats and jet skis and just people on the lake in general.
Well, yeah, I'm going to ask you a little bit about that. And, of course, we are going to talk about boat safety. But there's so many different pursuits that are happening out there on the lake, from anglers being out there to skiers to jet skiers, wakeboarders, wake surfers, fast boats, party boats, house boats. Is all of that happening out there, and are you seeing it all out there?
Definitely so. There's all of those all over the lake. There's obviously places people seek out to do water sports at because the water's a little bit calmer. There's a little bit less traffic. There's obviously the fishing hotspots as well. And then there's the party boat spots and the sandbars and those kinds of places too.
Well, listen, Mike, we got to delve into this because the old saying is the better thing than owning a boat is having a friend that owns a boat. And if you don't have a friend that owns a boat, then you can rent a boat. You're in the boat rental business, and you're making it happen there at Surf and Sport Lake Norman. But along with boat rentals comes, and you know, being on boats or even jet skis, what qualifies these days, 2023, for boat safety?
All right. So if you rent a boat from us and most of the other agencies on the lake, most people's insurance requires that anyone who's going to operate a boat has to be 25 or older. And then North Carolina law requires anybody who was born January 1st of 1988 or after, for them to operate a boat, they have to complete an approved North Carolina boater safety course and then carry that card with them when they actually are operating whatever kind of vessel it is that they're operating.
So let me ask you this, because I know this comes up, and this is great information for the listeners to the Carolina Outdoors. How do you handle that? And is it easy enough to attend a boater safety course and get the correct certification certificates and whatnot? Or do you just have to find somebody that has that if you want to take a boat out so that they can, quote unquote, captain your boat for the day or the weekend?
So the interesting thing is with the age requirement, January 1st of 88, born January 1st of 88 or after, if you were born before that, you technically don't need to have the boater safety course. But if you only drive a boat once a year or once every 5 years and it's a rental boat, you should take the course anyways just because it's good for general safety and general knowledge. All of our renters have to watch a safety video, whether they've completed the course or not. But, yeah, so being able to complete that course is all done remotely. So if somebody's renting a boat from us and they were born after January 1st of 88, we'll send them a link that they can actually go through the course. They can do it all online. They can do it remotely. Now, it's not a quick thing. It's a couple-hour venture of your life, but
yes.
It's a very, very thorough course, and you show up knowing more than you probably need to know just to drive a boat for a couple of hours. But it definitely goes through everything that you'll need to know. And then every time you come out and rent a boat with us, our dock staff goes through a safety briefing with you, and here's what Lake Norman is about, and here's the things you need to watch out for on Lake Norman, and here's the kind of the general rules, written and unwritten, of the lake. And they do all of that. They go through all of that with them before they even leave our docks.
The voice there, Mike McDonald from Surf and Sport Lake Norman. He's sharing a little bit of information with us about what's happening on Lake Norman this summer and now, and boat rentals and boat safety. So, Mike, our listeners, there's some of them out there in the Carolina outdoor world that have their own boat. So this is going to be a little bit of a public service that you're going to do, but we'll, because we know Surf and Sport Lake Norman, you know, has what you need on the boats that they're renting. But if we own our own boat, will you remind us what we need to have on there to take it out and be safe? And, you know, these things like fire extinguishers and the number of PFDs and kind of march us through what we know we need as a requirement to have to legally and safely operate a boat.
Yeah, for sure. So you touched on a couple of them right there. You definitely got to have an up-to-date fire extinguisher. You've got to have a throwover cushion as well that's Coast Guard approved. And then, like you said before, too, the number of life jackets that are on board. So if there are, you know, 10 people on the boat, you've got to have 10 U.S. Coast Guard approved flotation devices or life jackets, whether that's the old school orange ones, the kind of the old school keyhole ones, or if you have, you know, the buckle ones, or if you have ones that are kind of the nicer neoprene ones that zip up and buckle. You've got to have all of those on board for the number of passengers that you have on board. And then the number of passengers that you have slash weight that you have on board has to be at or below the capacity for the boat. And most boats have that capacity sticker that will say your boat is, you know, rated for up to 12 people or 2,800 pounds, whatever that exact number may be. But your boat should have a sticker that will tell you how many people or weight is allowed on the boat.
Hey, what about lighting on the boat? And I guess this this would be mainly a sunset to sunrise during the darker hours. But what is the requirement for a boat in regards to lighting, bow and stern?
Yes, sir. So you've got to have the navigation lights on the boat, which is going to be the red and green lights that signify either the port or starboard side or the right or the left side of the vessel. And then you also have to have an anchor light or an anchor beacon as well. An anchor beacon can be, you know, on top if the boat has a tower or if the boat has a bimini or if it's just a mast that has to screw into somewhere on the back of the boat, then it's an elevated light that shows from there. But if you're going to be out at sunset or after, you've got to have those nav lights and then that anchor beacon on as well. And honestly, what we tell most people is if you're going to be out even at sunset, once that golden hour hits, like, just turn them on. Because sometimes you're swimming and just hanging out in a cove somewhere, you forget to turn them on, and then you're traveling after it's dark and your lights aren't on. So it's better to do it earlier than later.
Better safe than sorry, says Mike McDonald, as he shares a little bit or a lot of bit about what's happened on Lake Norman. And, of course, what you're talking about, Mike, would go for any of our area lakes. Let's talk about etiquette or the rules of driving a boat in regards to who yields to who and that sort of thing. Can you talk to us about that as we are maneuvering through the main channel, let's say, of Lake Norman, but another boat is coming towards us? Hey, what are the rules of engagement? And is it like driving a car, right side of the river versus left side of the river? Can you walk us through that so we can be safe and not have any unneeded, unnecessary accidents?
For sure. So it's interesting because the steering wheel on boats, you know, that have two consoles is going to be on the right side of the vehicle. So, you know, in the United States, the steering wheel is actually on the left side of the vehicle, but we drive on the right side of the road. If the boat is a center console, obviously the steering wheel is in the center. But just like you said, you're going to drive up the right side of the channel. And then if you're coming down the other way, then you would travel on the right side. Whatever direction you're traveling, you would travel on the right side, but obviously not so close to shore that your wake is damaging the shoreline or rocking the docks with the wake that you're creating from your boat. Good rule of thumb I actually use is 100 yards. Sometimes, you know, some publications will say 100 feet or 150 feet, or some even say 200 feet. 100 yards is easy for me to picture because it's a football field. And people can kind of picture how big a football field is. So you should be traveling at least a football field away from shoreline. And then a good general rule of thumb, if somebody's coming at you or kind of crossing against you, if you treat it like a four-way stop sign, whoever is coming from the right has the right of way.
Hi, good information to know. And I assume that 100 yard rule that you're using, that sounds good to me because I know about a football field. You should use that with not only other vessels, but shallow water structures, anything that's out there, kind of give way a bit just to be on the safe side.
Absolutely, sure.
All right, Mike, we've done the hard work. That is all the stuff to keep our Carolina Outdoor listeners out there being safe and legal and enjoying what we have in regards to boats. But speaking of what we have in regards to boats, take us through Surf and Sport Lake Norman, because I listed all the different pursuits that people are doing on the lake, and I know I left some out, from wakeboarding to party boats to anglers to skiing. All of that. Let's rent a boat. What does Surf and Sport have for us? And then how does the boat rental process work?
For sure. So Surf and Sport, we do pontoons, tritoons, and wake surf boats. So the biggest difference between our pontoons and tritoons, you know, pontoons are a 21-foot boat. There's only two tunes underneath the boat instead of the tritoon having three. So they're 21 feet. They've got a little smaller motor, so it's a 90-horsepower motor. All of our pontoons and tritoons have Bimini sunshades, Bluetooth stereos, the swim ladders. They'll come fully stocked with however many life jackets you need for the correct passenger capacity. So, like, passenger capacity on the pontoons is 8, whereas if you go up to one of our tritoons, it's a 24-foot vessel or bigger with a 150-horsepower motor or bigger. So if you're going to be doing more advanced water sports like wakeboarding or water skiing, or if your kids are a little bit older and a little more adventurous on a tube and want to rip around corners and go a little bit faster, the tritoons definitely go faster. And then we also offer the wake surf boats. So if you're going to be doing wake surfing, specifically wake surfing, you need to use a wake surfing specific boat, which is an inboard boat. And the biggest difference is where the propeller is located. The propeller on an inboard boat or a wake surfing boat or a wakeboarding boat even is located underneath the hull of the boat instead of behind the boat. So with wake surfing, you're considerably closer to the boat than you would be if you were water skiing or wakeboarding. So a wake surfing specific boat does not put you in any danger when you're doing that sport. That's going to be the biggest thing with that. And those have a 12 passenger capacity, amazing sound systems. They're beautiful boats. They're just great fun to be on.
Oh, so you've got Miss fired up. What a way to escape the heat here in the summer is just jump out there on Lake Norman Surf and Sport, hook it up, and get a boat and be out there. Now, Mike, a lot of people have vacation homes out there. A lot of people are renting homes on Lake Norman for a week or a long weekend just to enjoy lake life here in the summer. How does that work? If we book with Surf and Sport online a boat rental, do you bring it to the home or do we come to get it or either or?
You know, that is going to depend entirely on how long your stay is and then where the home is that you're renting. So if you're going to rent from us for a couple days or more, 2 or more days, and the home that you're renting has a dock on the water, then we will deliver the boat to your rental home for however long you're going to rent it for no extra charge. And then we'll do the pickup as well. So let's just say you were going to rent a tritoon for 5 days. We would deliver it and pick it up at the end of the rental. And we have all of the water sports equipment that you would need, whether it's, you know, a wakeboard, water skis, tubes, knee boards even, and we would deliver all of that equipment with the boats and then go through the same safety briefing we do with all of our single-day rentals. And then if you're just going to rent a boat just for the day, then you would pick it up at our Midway Marina location and then drop it back off at our Midway Marina location. All of our booking you can either do online through our website or you can actually call us and then we'll handle that over the phone.
That website where you can also get the phone number, surfandsportlakenorman.com. Mike McDonald's joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. I'm Bill Barty, your host. And Mike, of course, many of us that have not rented a boat know about renting a car and the way it works as far as petroleum, filling it up with gas. How does it work when we're renting a boat from Surf and Sport Lake Norman? Do we do it just like a rental car or what?
So we are actually a little bit different than a rental car agency because a lot of the rental car agencies charge you a premium for them to fill the tank up, regardless of, you know, if they put in 2 gallons or if they put in 20 gallons. So what we do is, if you return the boat to us, you are absolutely free to fill it up before you come back to the docks and then bring it back with the full tank, or we'll actually do that for you. A lot of times when you go to the gas docks, there is a line at the gas docks, and then it's just cutting into your rental and your vacation time. So you're spending less time enjoying the boat while you're filling the boat up. So we don't charge anything extra for us to do it. Just like every major rental company on the lake, we charge a security deposit. So let's just say you rent a boat for a single day and you use $113.24 worth of gas. What we would do is just reduce that from your security deposit and then refund the remainder of the security deposit. And that way you have the most amount of time you can have that on the boat, on the lake, and not have to worry about sitting at the gas docks waiting for the boat to fill up.
Oh, too cool. The voice right there, Mike McDonald. He's talking to us about what's happening on Lake Norman. And Mike, in review, let me see, help me out going through this. If we're going to head out there on the lake, the busiest times, obviously, are Saturday and Sunday. If we want to escape some of the crowds, get out there on a weekday, especially early in the morning, earlier in the morning, because it seems like traffic is there lower than But what about those beautiful Lake Norman sunsets? Is boat rental kind of on the increase so that you can get out there on the lake and enjoy a sunset with Surf and Sport Lake Norman?
You know, the sunsets are happening so late in the evenings right now. Most of our daily rentals come back either at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., so they don't necessarily get to enjoy that on the lake, unfortunately. But there are plenty of lakeside dining establishments where you could enjoy that as well, or you can just even sit at the marina and hang out and watch the sunset. However, if you rented a boat from us for the week, then the boat is at your docks, then you could actually sit out on the boat in your cove and watch the sunset, which is one of the best times to be on the lake. I love that time of the day.
You romantic devil, you.
Huh?
Mike, did I miss anything here on the Carolina Outdoors as our time is ending?
You know, jet skis are another big one that kind of go up and down the lake, and we don't offer jet ski rentals. There are lots of places that do. You know, the big thing with jet skis is depending on the age of the person who is going to be operating the jet ski. Like, you know, North Carolina law requires anybody who is 14 or older, they have to have completed a boater's safety course. And then if they're 16 or older with that boater safety course, then they can operate the jet ski by themselves. But let's just say a 14 or 15-year-old has completed the boater safety course, they would still have to have an adult with them on the boat, either who has met the boater safety course requirements or, of course, was born before January 1st of 88. That's a big thing on the lake, especially with so many people around the lake and all the different people fishing and surfing and ripping about on the lake. So we just want to make sure we abide by all that stuff. And jet skis are a great way to enjoy the lake, too.
Hey, we have so many people listening to the Carolina Outdoors early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio who are waking up. And if you missed any of this, you can head over to Highlights of the Carolina Outdoors podcast and check it out. But this is going to be one of the most important parts. The website, Surf and Sport Lake Norman. Spell it all out. Surfandsportlakenorman.com. Check it out for boat rentals. And Mike McDonald of Surf and Sport, thank you so much for the time and information here on the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you for having me. Can't wait to be back.
Off he goes, and we'll be back on the other side and wrap this thing up called the Carolina. Hey, we didn't get to talk about this, but 600 acres has been acquired by the state of South Carolina, honoring the Catawba Nation. The Nesbitt family has sold some land over there. They struck the deal with Open Space Institute. All that being said, there's a new state park that's going to be coming online just south of Charlotte in Lancaster County along the banks of the Catawba River. We'll talk more about that in upcoming episodes of the Carolina Outdoors. But, hey, that is news. 600-acre new state park coming to the state of South Carolina in the Charlotte area. So that's exciting. Hey, we learned a little bit about skip lagging on the Carolina Outdoors. If you missed that, it's also called Hidden City Ticketing. It's where you jump off your final destination before you get there. No, you don't jump out of the airplane. You get off at a connecting airline or airport, not your final destination. You do it to save money. It doesn't always work, but airlines are cracking down. It is in the news. So that is something to note. Also something to note is July 28th and 29th, the 24 Hours of Booty is going to be in town. It's a fundraiser for cancer research and more. The 24 Foundation puts it on. It's in the Myers Park area. Thanks to Tom Pierman, who's going to be a first-year course marshal at the 24 Hours of Booty. Kind of came on and gave us an insight into what a course marshal is doing. Remember to hydrate everyone and be safe out there. Know your speed. And enjoy the community of cycling there in Bootyville during the 24 Hours of Booty. Also, special thanks to Mike McDonald from Surf and Sport Lake Norman for jumping on and sharing a bit about boater safety and boat rentals there on Lake Norman. For them and TJ Boggs, I'm Bill Barty saying make the Carolina Outdoors a little bit better than you found it. And pick up your trash. One of the best times of year in one of the best places, summertime in the Carolinas. It means hiking, travel, blue skies, and fly fishing with Jesse Browns. But it also means warm weather and sun. Jesse Browns has clothing to sun protect and make you feel and look cooler. That's right, the modern fabrics within the Jesse Brown's clothing keeps the UVA and UVB rays away, but it also has a cooling sensation during these warm Carolina months. Stop by jessebrowns.com to check it out, and also visit the brick and mortar in the shopping district of Charlotte South Park area to get your new summer apparel from Jesse Brown's.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.